about a tour with Greta Thunberg.
With who?
It's his name, Shalom Pollack.
With Rabbi Pollack?
Shalom Pollack led a tour of you on the bus.
Oh, with that, yeah. You're correct.
So for Parashas Toldos, we're going to study an essay tonight. I'll try to highlight the most important points. Some of it we'll read inside and I'll translate. And this is on the subject of Chafiras HaBoros. Chafiras HaBe'eros, which means that Avram Avinu had dug wells and Yitzhak followed suit. Yitzhak also was involved in digging wells. And you often wonder why the Torah had to go into detail about something that seems so insignificant. Let's read the psukim inside. Vayashav Yitzchak, you'll see this in the second paragraph in bold print. Vayachpar es be'eros hamayim asher chafru bimei Avram Aviv. Vayastemum plishtim. These were wells that were dug by Avram, and in the aftermath of Avram's passing, after he died, the plishtim came and they filled it in. And now Yitzchak is involved in redigging those same wells. Not only that, the Torah goes out of its way to give us another detail, that Yitzchak gives names to each one of these wells, and the names are identical with the names that his father gave. So we very much see Yitzchak as a disciple of his father. He is redigging those wells and he's giving them the same names. Later on, after they find water in the well, the local residents start fighting in a battle between their shepherds and the shepherds of Yitzchak over the water. Water was a very important commodity then as it is today. And as a result, Yitzchak gives the name of this bar. He calls it Asek. Asek means that there was a controversy over the ownership of this well. Then Yitzchak gets involved in digging more wells. And again, there's a battle that breaks out. And Yitzchak gives another name to this well, and he calls it Sitna. Sitna is Miloshon, friction or animosity. Finally, Yitzchak digs the third round, and that well he calls Rehovot. Today we have a city in Israel, a major city, which is called Rehovot. So there are three different periods here, three different rounds, if you will, of digging these wells. And the Ramban explains that these three wells correspond to the three Batei Mikdashos. The first Beis HaMikdash corresponds to the first Be'er, which is called Asek. The second is called Sitna. And the ultimate third Beis HaMikdash, that we hope will be built soon in our days, that's called Rehovot. That corresponds to Rehovot. The Ramban embellishes this. And he says that just like there was a battle over the first Be'er, which is called Asek, so too our enemies will rise up against us at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash to destroy that. Same thing is going to happen with regard to the second Beis HaMikdash, which is called Sitna. Again, Miloshon, enmity.
And what?
Enmity, E-N-M-I-T-Y. And ultimately, there'll be the third Beis HaMikdash, which corresponds to Rehovot. Rehovot means there won't be any more of a battle. This will be the eternal Beit HaMikdash. So that if you take a look in the second column on page 1, you'll see that the Ramban tells us that Esek is an allusion to the first Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed. Sitna to the second, which was destroyed. And finally, the third Beis HaMikdash, which is called Rechovot, is the bayis that will be built at the time of Mashiach. There won't be any battle about it. There won't be any altercations. There won't be any adversaries who'll try to undermine our third Beis HaMikdash. And the word Rechovot, says the Ramban, comes from the source of the word Yarchiv. And the Torah tells us, Ki Yarchiv Hashem Elokech es Gvulecha, when God will broaden the boundaries of Israel, as He promised, which is going to be at the end of days, at the time of Mashiach, that Yarchiv corresponds to Rechovot, the third Beis HaMikdash, to the third Be'er, and there was no altercation, there was no battle over the third Be'er. We could add another element here. The number three, because there were three Be'eros, correspond to the three Avos. The first corresponds to Avram Avinu, and the second to Yitzchak. The third is Yaakov. Yaakov represents the ultimate Beis HaMikdash that will be Lenetzach Netzachim for all eternity. So that when Yitzchak digs the three wells, the first one he has in mind Avram. Now, with the case of Avram, Avram has two sons. One, of course, is Yitzchak, and the other is Yishmael. So that Avram is a complicated, his legacy is sort of split in two ways. The same is going to be true for Yitzchak, because he's going to have Yaakov and Esav. But when we get to the third Madriga, the third level, and that's Yaakov, he has the 12 tribes. Excellent. Mitoso Shlema. It's a completion, it's a perfection. And therefore, with regard to the first two Be'eros, corresponding to Avram and to Yitzchak, we have this friction. We have our enemies that face us. In the case of Avram, we have Yishmael. In the case of Yitzchak, we have Esav. And Yishmael is represented by that first Be'er, which is called Esek. Esav is Sitna, until finally we get to Yaakov Avinu, which is a pure mitaso shlema, a perfection, and that's called Rechovot. And that's going to represent the third Beis HaMikdash, which is Hirchiv. Rechovot means God gives us this broad boundaries of the land, and that land is going to be occupied by the people of Israel, the Yud Bei Shvatim, the descendants of Yaakov, and that represents the eternal Beis HaMikdash. Now, if you're following in the text, we're finished with the first, I call it Roman numeral number one, and we're on the left column towards the bottom. This is Roman numeral number two. What we're going to learn now is what I call a Hasidic insight into these Be'eros and the significance of digging the Be'er. So, what we have until now is something that reflects Klal Yisrael, the people of Israel, the history of Israel, the Batei Mikdashos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Avos. Now we're getting down to a personal level. What message is the Torah transmitting to each and every one of us on a personal level in this episode of Be'eros? Is it possible that each one of us, as we'll soon see in the Baal Shem Tov, has to dig his or her own Be'er? That there's something that covers the ground and there's something below the ground. And that's the water, the Be'er Mayim Chayim, the living waters that are below the ground. And for me personally, this is a very meaningful insight. And as I've mentioned to you many, many times, my genealogy is all Hasidic on both sides, my mother and my father. So I can't run away from that which is in my system. And the Torah can be interpreted on many different levels. There's Pshat, there's Remez, there's Drush, there's Sod, there's secrets of the Torah, there are symbolisms in the Torah. And that's what the Hasidim were great at. They looked for the symbolic messages below the surface of the Torah. That's called Remez. And this is a perfect example.
So you're saying infusing all parties. Pshat, Remez, Lashon.
I didn't go into that. All I was saying is that what we're about to embark upon, I'm just giving you a little background, is Remez. Remez means to find a symbolism, a message that's below the surface of the Torah. So later on, at 8:30, we'll do Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma is not Remez, he's Pshat. You know, he wants to tell you why the Torah used a certain word and the order of the Psukim, sequence. That's called Parshanut. That's not for this group today. The 7:30 class today is focused on Hasidic insights into the Parsha. What is the breakthrough here of the Baal Shem Tov? He says the following, that the Avos, by digging these wells, were breaking new ground. In a sense, they were preparing our service to Hashem as their descendants for all generations. The holy Avos, he says, Avos HaKadoshim, were teaching us the Derech Avodah. What is our responsibility in life? The Derech Avodah, how do we serve Hashem? Point number one. To dig means to dig out ground. The ground is part of what we call the Aretz. The Aretz is physical. It's called Chamri. What happens when we dig the ground, when we remove the top surface layer of the Aretz, of Chomrius? What we reveal is something deep below the surface, something very spiritual and very profound, which the Baal Shem Tov calls Nitzotz Eloki, a spark of divinity. And this spark of divinity is hidden below the surface. It's called Tamun.
It's called
Tamun. Okay, I can't scream, my voice is very... If there's any way you could sit a little closer, Raz, it would really be a chesed for me if you could...
Test Mem Vav Nun, is that what you said?
Right.
It's right in the title. And Tamun means what?
Tamun means something that's hidden below the surface. Like, for example, if you learn Masechta Bava Kama, you'll see that Eish, if I burn a fire and I damage you, I'm not chayav for anything that's tamud. I'm only chayav for something that's apparent to the naked eye. That which is hidden below the surface and covered, that's tamud, and I don't have to pay damages for that. Tamud always refers to something that's concealed. It's got a cover to it. Okay. What is the cover and what is concealed? What is Tamun? What's covering the Tamun is the Artziut, which means the ground, which means the soil. And what's below the soil? Something which is called a Nitzotz Eloki. It is a spark of divinity. Okay, so far I haven't said anything. I'm just giving you the language. The terminology, as we say.
So this is like the kippah.
Like the?
This is like the kippah.
Kippah? What's a kippah?
A klipah.
Oh, klipah. Okay,
like
maybe.
Does this have anything connected with, when you do Sfiras HaOmer, there's something else you say, something sowed and different levels.
Oh, maybe. Again, I don't know. I'm not prepared now for Sfiras HaOmer. Give me a couple of months. We'll get into it.
No, but you say Hayom sold the Emma, sold the this, and then every week of Vura, the seven layers. What is that called? The seven.
I don't know.
Spheros.
Yeah. I don't know. Spheros. I'm not.
Is it not connected to Spheros?
I don't know. You're embarrassing me because I'm really not prepared for Sfiras HaOmer. I apologize. I just want to get through this. What is the Be'er? If we could focus, leave Sfiras HaOmer again, we could learn Kol HaTorah Kulah, but, you know, we only have this amount of time once a week. Let's just focus, if you don't mind, on the concept of a Be'er. What is the Be'er? It's the removal of the surface level ground. The ground is not evil, please. Don't identify with Klipa. Klipa is a negative, destructive power of evil. We're not talking about forces of evil tonight. You know, we'll again, as I said, we'll talk about that another night. What we're talking about tonight is something called physicality. This table is physical. But is there something below the surface that you can't see with your naked eye that is concealed by physicality? There's something inside, below the surface, which is called a Nitzotz Eloki, which is some sort of divine spark. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov says in this paragraph, which you'll see at the end of page 1. He says the following, that what is Mayim? The Avos were busy digging wells in order to try to remove and expose the Mayim.
Mayim is associated with Torah.
Excellent. Mayim is symbolic of Torah. Torah is going to be the force, the method by which we can achieve our goal of avoda, of serving Hashem. Says the Baal Shem Tov, all of these wells that were dug by the servants of Avraham Avinu during his time, and the Plishtim came to fill them in, this was an attempt by each one of the Avos, respectively, to reveal the Torah. And Dafka to look for the Torah within the afar, within the ground that covers the Torah. So again, we're not rejecting the afar. We're looking for a deeper level that will allow us somehow, by finding this water, which is Torah, to expose the part of Afar, which can be elevated in the service of Hashem. So, for example, Avraham Avinu, he's preoccupied with trying to break through that layer, that outer layer of Afar, to try to find what is it below the surface that keeps the offer going, so to speak. So he exposes Mayim. Now we're on page 2. Come along the Plishtim, and they are the powers of evil, and they want to fill in the ground. They don't want Avraham Avinu to be able to expose that secret that's inherent below the ground, the Mayim, the Torah. Yitzchak comes back and he digs the wells again. And what it means is, says the Baal Shem Tov, this is a message for all generations. Every generation has to find its own way, and every individual, as we'll soon see, to dig that well that needs to be dug, to expose that Mayim that needs to be exposed. The Avos were the groundbreakers. If not for the Avos, it would have been impossible for us to achieve this goal. And Avram Avinu, the Pasuk says, Odenu Omed Lifnei Hashem. In every generation, Avram Avinu, so to speak, is there in spirit, and he is on our right side, giving us that extra guidance, that extra help, so that we can achieve our goal, and we can dig those boros, those be'eros that we have to dig, and expose the mayim that we have to expose. Now, let's see if we can take this whole story back to creation itself. So we're now on the third paragraph of page 2, and we're talking about one of the great Hasidic giants of Ger, the Ger Hasidim. He's called the Chidush HaRim, and he goes back to the story of creation. What happens is that whatever exists is in the form of mayim. And the pasuk says, "Veruach Elokim merachefes al pnei ha-mayim." The Spirit of the Lord is hovering over the water. And then God declares, "Vayomer Elokim, yikavu ha-mayim mitachas ha-shamayim el makom echad." God gathers the water together in one place. And now we see the ground, we see the continents and the land masses. Says the Chidush HaRim, the original situation of Ruach Elokim Rachefes al Pnei HaMayim would not leave room for challenge, for what we call freedom of choice. Because in that original state of creation, Mayim, which represents the Nitzotz Eloki, divinity, is clear, it's constant, it's all-encompassing. So Hashem made it more of a challenge for us. And what He did was, He gathered together all the waters, and now the land is going to take over, I would say probably, I don't know if most of the earth, but at least in a symbolic sense, most of the earth. What's the tachlis now? What's the goal? What's the challenge? And now we're looking at the last paragraph on the right column. He says the following. The goal and the purpose is that if divinity is now being concealed by the aretz, by the ground, by the earth, now man is faced with a tremendous challenge, freedom of choice. And what we're asked to do now is to expose below the abasha, the ground, the dry ground land of Ofar, which covers the Mayim, to dig below the surface in order to reveal the Torah and the divine will that's hidden, Tomon, as we said before, below the surface. But it goes even further. And why is that? He says the following. That just like the aretz, the ground itself, conceals that divinity that's below the surface, so too, every human being is a physical body, and that physicality of the body conceals something deeper below the surface. And that is the divinity within man, the neshama. Man is challenged not only in terms of the entire world that he lives in, to try to look for every possibility of exposing in the universe that nitzotz that's concealed, but even vis-a-vis himself, he has to dig below the surface of his physicality in order to expose, in order to reveal the Be'er Mayim Chaim, that life-giving force, that spirituality, that divinity within himself. And when you talk about the Avos, they weren't entirely successful until we get to which one of the Avos?
Yaakov.
And Yaakov is Rechovot. What does Rechovot mean? So we're now in the middle column on page 2. The first paragraph that starts V'yesh Lahosif. What is Rechovot, which is the ultimate of the Be'eros? In order to understand what Rechovot is, we're going to ask another question. For a person to dig below the surface of the ground, he needs utensils. What are those utensils that allow him to dig? So again, you'll say it's a rake and a hoe. But on a spiritual level, if we're talking about digging below the surface of Artziut, of the physicality that conceals the deity or the spiritual divine force of the Nitzotz, then the Kalim, in order to reveal the Be'er Mayim, the water below the surface, is the Torah itself. The Torah was the kli, if you will, was the utensil with which God created the entire world. And the Medrash says that God looked into the Torah and He created the world. If the Torah is the utensil, is the vehicle for the creation of the world, then everything that exists within the world has the Torah within it. The Torah becomes the life force, so to speak. I don't know if you're familiar with the phrase Elan Vital. Those were the French philosophers. So now, Yaakov is going to play a major role, because the Torah describes Yaakov as Ish Tam Yoshev Oholim. Yaakov, more than any of the others before him, personifies Torah. He's the Yoshev Oholim. He has a special connection, therefore, to the process of revealing the Mayim, the spirituality below the Ofer, the Artzius. Because the way to do that, the successful tool that we have to use, is the Torah itself. The Torah itself is the spiritual spark of the entire universe. And the Mishnah tells us that Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Omed, the universe rests on three pillars: Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasadim. Torah is a power, a spiritual power, divine power, that it corresponds to Yaakov. Avodah is Yitzchak, Chesed is Avram. But Torah is Yaakov. So it makes sense now that if the method by which we can dig and reveal something below the surface is Torah, that it's Yaakov's Be'er, the third Be'er, which corresponds to Yaakov, which is called Rechovot, means that Yaakov Avinu is going to reveal in a very permanent and profound way the Torah that is symbolically represented by the Be'er Mayim. Chazal tells about Yaakov Avinu that for 14 years he studied the Torah exactly in the yeshiva of Shem V'Ever. And he wasn't interested in any distractions. He was totally dedicated to the study of Torah. So Yaakov personifies the koach of Esek HaTorah. And Esek HaTorah is the vehicle, is the tool by which we can reveal the Be'er Mayim that's below the surface. And the Torah is going to teach us how in every experience that we have, whether it's in terms of our relationship to the universe that we live in, or our relationship to ourselves, to reveal that Mayim, that Nitzotz Eloki, that spiritual divine element that's inherent within us. So it's the Torah that really gives us the ability to achieve this goal. And Yaakov Avinu personifies in his life the Esek HaTorah. Now let's go back to the creation of man. Before, we spoke about the creation of the universe, we spoke about the Mayim, we spoke about the land masses. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'odom, on the bottom of the middle column, afar min adam. So what is man made of? Again, you can give many answers based on biology and the study of science, but I don't think there'll be any discrepancy between your scientific answers and the answer that the Torah gives. On the one hand, but this is only half the story, man is created afar min ha'adama. He is the ground of the earth. But there's much more to that. And why is that so? Because the pasuk says, and this you'll see on the top left of the third column, V'eid yaleh min ha'aretz. There's a certain vapor that rises from the ground. V'hishka es kol pnei ha'adama. And it waters the entire ground. Well, what does this have to do with the creation of man? I wouldn't have seen any connection until I saw Rashi. Rashi, based on a medrash, says the following. That this pasuk that talks about the water that is spilling over and watering the ground, the Adama, is le'inyan briyaso shel Adam, is a description of the creation of man. Hela hatahom, from the bowels of the earth, God brings up the waters. Vehishka anonim lishos ha'afar. And now the water is going to spill over and water all the ground. So now we have a combination of earth and water. V'nivra ha'adam, Rashi says that how is man created? K'gabol zeh. Now I'm going to test you. Does anybody know what the word gabol means? That's a hard one.
The word what?
Gabol. Gimel Beis Lamed. Without looking it up on your computer. I'll let you look it up on your computer, but first you got to tell me what you think the answer is.
I don't know.
Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble.
Very good. Excellent. Okay, I think you're, 2 days ahead of yourself. Okay. So what's gobble? Gobble means kneading, but with a K at the beginning. When you take a powder or some sort of dry substance and you add water to it or some sort of liquid and you knead them together. Rashi says that man was created by God as a gabal, which means that God took the water, added the water to the afar, and losh es ha'isa. It's like he kneaded the dough, right? You have a kemach, how do you say kemach? Flour, yeah. Right? Flour, F-L-O-U-R. And then you add water to the flour, and you knead them together, you create an isa, a dough. Says Rashi, that's the way God created man. Man's body is a combination of afar, as the pasuk says, afar min adama, plus this water that comes from the tahom, that comes from deep down the bowels of the earth. And when God takes the water together with the afar, he makes a gibul out of it. He makes some sort of a dough out of it. He kneads them together. Now again, these are concepts that are beyond our comprehension. I mean, nobody was there to testify about how God created man. But the Torah is giving us perhaps a symbolic message here. And we're going to see that message revealed in a paragraph that starts V'ro'i l'hisbonen, which is on the left column of page 2. He says, why did God choose to create the body of man as a combination of Afar HaAdama, right, the dirt on the face of the earth, and Meimei HaTahom, and the waters of the depths of the center of the universe, so to speak, center of the globe?
Mayim is Torah.
Oh, so excellent.
It Torah into the body.
Correct. The body itself represents that surface level that we spoke about, which conceals a deeper level. So the body, in the physical sense, if we isolate the element of Ofer min Adama, is this kind of covering, and it covers the water that's below the surface. That water is called Be'er Mayim Chayim. That water represents the divine spark of man. So the Ofer and Adama now covers and conceals the Nitzotz Eloki, that divine spark that's within man. Man now is challenged with freedom of choice, and he has to reveal that Mayim that's within him. And that Mayim represents the spiritual spark that keeps him alive. That's the will of God within man. And now, every individual is called upon to dig below the surface of this Ofer HaAdama of Artzius, of the physicality, in order to reveal the Be'er Mayim Chayim, which, as we said, is the water that represents the spark of divinity, which is Tamun, which is hidden deep below the surface. And how does he do that? The way he does that is by using a kli, a vessel for digging. And which is the vessel for digging if we're talking about revealing that spiritual Nitzotz Eloki that's Talmud? It's going to be the Torah itself. The Torah is going to teach him how he can discover and reveal that Be'er Mayim Chayim that's within him. And therefore, we can begin to understand the Pasuk in Mishle. So this is going to be on the bottom of your page 2, 2 lines up before the end. And you know that Mishle was authored by whom? Everybody, who authored Mishle?
Shlomo
HaMelech. So the wisest of all men is going to give us some sort of an insight in a verse that's very ambiguous, that's very challenging. So if you don't learn anything tonight, what I want you to learn is a new insight into a pasuk in Mishle, at least that much. It says, Mayim amukim eitza belev ish. Shlomo HaMelech is giving us a metaphor for the wisdom of Eitza. Eitza means counsel that is within the heart of man. And what is the metaphor? Mayim amukim, deep waters. What is the connection between deep waters and the wisdom that will give us counsel and guidance that's within the heart of man?
Everything we have to know or do is already there, the answers in the Torah.
Correct. So let's see how we can develop this and flesh it out. We're going to turn to page 3. He says the following, that how do we achieve this goal of Eitzah, of figuring out how to live our lives at every stage in our life, at every single street we walk on? We're faced with all sorts of barriers and all sorts of confusing challenges. We need desperately an Eitzah. An Eitzah means some sort of wisdom. And Shlomo HaMelech says that wisdom is Belev Ish. It's really within us. It's within our hearts. So why are we so confused? Why do we find ourselves in a state where we don't know how to find this Eitzah? Why is it that there's a disconnect between ourselves and the lev? And the answer is because there's a physical covering that conceals the lev, that conceals the eitzah, that conceals that source of guidance within us. It's like the be'er, where you have ground and you have to dig below the ground in order to reveal the mayim, the water below it. That's what Shlomo Melech is telling us, that our lives are made up of adama, and the adama, the ground itself, covers over the eitzah, that guidance that we need. So what do we have to do now? We have to reveal the mayim amukim, those deep waters that are within us. Once we remove that surface layer, which is called the physicality of Adama, we now have tapped into the Mayim Amukim. We remove the physicality that blinds us, that makes it so difficult for us to make decisions, the right decisions. We don't have the wisdom and the counsel. So we dig the bear. And what do we find below the surface? Mayim Amukim. These deep waters. Once we dig the be'er and we discover the mayim amukim, then it's eitzah b'lev ish. The eitzah b'lev ish, the counsel, the wisdom that we need is there. We don't have to create it. It's already inherent in the lev, but we just have to reveal it because there's something that covers over, there's a blockage that doesn't allow us to tap in. That's the artzius that has to be revealed. And once we reveal that artzius by digging, then we see the revelation of the Mayim Amukim, that Nitzot Zeloki. And then, automatically, as a result, what you have is Eitzah B'Lev Ish. Now, at this point, we're ready for Roman numeral number 3. And that's going to start here on page 3, in the paragraph that starts Yom Tak Lahavin. So see if you can find page 3.
Yeah.
And on the right column, there's a section that's called the Imlav Sham, and that paragraph below it starts Yom Tak Lahavin. What we're going to try to understand is one of the strangest statements in all of the Agadata, you know, the philosophical works of our rabbis. And that is that when we were ready to receive the Torah, God took the mountain and He held the mountain over our heads. That's called Kafa Aleihem Har Kigigis. You familiar with that? Yes? No? Maybe? Hello? Anybody home?
Yeah, Hebrew, no.
What did he say?
He
took the mountain and he held the mountain over the heads of Klal Yisrael. These are our ancestors. Maybe we were there too.
Yeah.
And based on a pasuk of Yisyatzvu B'tachlis Ahor, the famous Agadah about Kabbalah Sator and Shabbos Peches, says that Kofa HaKadosh Baruch Aleihem Har Kigigis. So God says if you accept the Torah, that's good. If not, Shom Tehei Kfuraschem. That's where you're going to be buried. So Tosis, on that Gemara in Shabbos, asks the obvious question. We said Nasa V'Nishma. We said that we were willing to accept the Torah. Why then does God have to coerce us by placing the mountain over our heads and threatening to destroy us?
What does Kigigit mean?
Gigit is a barrel.
A barrel.
So let's see if based on everything we said until now, we can possibly shed a new light on this very strange agadata, this very strange rabbinic comment, which Tosis says is almost impossible to understand. We've already established that our responsibility, our goal in life and our avodah is to dig the wells by removing the surface level of afar and revealing the mayim chayim. what is going to be our kli, what is the only vessel that will facilitate the ability of man to dig below the surface. It's got to be the Torah. God created the world with the Torah, so all the artzius, all the physicality, which covers the mayim, is created by the Torah. So that the Torah itself holds within it the key to reveal the artzius, to expose the mayim and the nitzotz eloki that's below the surface. So a person has to dedicate himself to the study of Torah. As a result of the study of Torah, its sanctity penetrates into the very heart of man. It goes below the surface of the ofar, and that physicality, the materiality of the body that covers and hides the divinity within us. So God says to the people of Israel, you know what? You're a special nation. I'm giving you a special, unique responsibility, and you have to face all the challenges of life and do the best you can to overcome them. Those challenges are different barriers and impediments, what we call the evil inclination. So God says, you know what? With all these barriers, I'm going to give you a force, a power that will inject within you the ability, the capacity to face and overcome all these challenges. And that's called Torah Tavlin. What is Torah Tavlin? Tavlin means some sort of a drug or a healing drug. And God says that this Torah is like a healing drug. If you dedicate yourself to the study of Torah, it will heal you of all your spiritual ailments. The Yetzer Hara is going to focus on the offer of man, and it's going to really make it thick and impenetrable, so that it really covers and conceals all the water of the Nitzotz Eloki. But God says, you have one possible salvation, one method of defeating the Yetzer Hara. And what is that? The study of Torah. If you study the Torah, then you will dig below the surface, no matter how thick the Yetzer makes that surface of the Ofar, and you will reveal the Be'er Mayim Chaim, that spiritual, divine force that's below the surface. So God says, I'm going to hold this barrel over your head. And what is that? That's the Har. What does the Har represent? The Har represents the ultimate offer of the Adama. When the offer of the Adama piles up layer upon layer upon layer, what do you have in front of you? A mountain. That mountain, because it's so high, covers the water that's way, way below the belief beneath the surface, thousands of feet below the surface. And Hashem says to the people of Israel the following: if you receive the Torah, accept the Torah, that means if you're willing to accept the fact that you are going to be challenged throughout your life to face this great mountain, which is the Ofar Shel Adama, the Ofar Adama, but you're willing to take with you the Kalim, those utensils that you need to dig below the surface, to go below the goof and all those physicalities that prevent you and barrier you, then you'll be able to reveal the Mayim. You'll be able to reveal the Mayim Amukim, those deep waters, that divinity and spirituality that's below the surface. That's your only chance. Otherwise, in love, if you don't want to accept the Torah, if you don't want to commit yourself to use the Torah as your kli chathira, as your vessel of digging, shom teik vuraskha. You know what? As a nation, you have no purpose in this life, in this world. We might as well bury you here. What does that mean? Bury you below the Ofar. The Ofar that is pushing you down, 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 and is concealing all that divinity, will continue to push you down, down, down. That's called Kvura. So now there's a covering, and there's no possibility of seeing the light, that divine supernal light that's below the surface, because you're not willing to commit yourself to a life of the study of Torah, to acquire and possess the klei chfira, those tools and utensils that you need to dig and remove the surface level of the Adama and get down to the Me'at Tahom, to those waters that are deep down in your neshama, in your divine spark. So what does it mean, Shom Teik Vuraschem? It's not a threat in the literal sense, but it is a symbolic threat that says you have only one of two choices. If you want to defeat this mountain that is presenting itself as such an impervious barrier, preventing you from digging and connecting to that Mayim Chaim, you have only one choice. Either you accept a commitment to Torah, of Esek HaTorah, you're going to have to work hard in Torah, sweat and toil. And that means, by the way, that even if members of the Jewish community who cannot dedicate themselves day and night to the study of Torah, they too are responsible to set times for Torah. And now, through that Torah study, they have the ability to face the challenge of this great mountain of Ofar on top of Ofar and reveal the Mayim Amukim, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, that Eitz HaBelev Adam, which is the ability to connect to the spiritual side of man, to the divine spark which is man in man, but without the Torah, it's a lost cause, because the barriers, the impediments, the mountains are too great. Your only chance for success is going to be a dedication to the Torah, to possess, to acquire the klei chafira, those tools that you need to dig below the surface. And now we're up to Roman numeral number, what are we up to? 4? Okay. Now there's another dimension to the creation of water that we haven't spoken about. And this dimension is reflected in Rashi, in his commentary on the Torah, but of all places, not in Brachos, but rather at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. The Torah says at the beginning of Vayikra that every korban, every sacrifice that we have to bring requires what's called melach, salt. And you'll see this on the fourth column on the top left of page 3. The last column on the top left. The Torah commands us, V'chol korban min chasecha b'melach, and lo tash b'smelach, you're not allowed to bring the korban without adding the salt. And if you look carefully at the wording of the verse, it says, Melach bris Elokecha, that this salt represents a bris. So Rashi asks, what is this melach bris? The covenant of the salt. Rashi says, Shed bris krusa lemelach, that back at the creation of the world, during the 6 days of creation, God entered into a covenantal relationship with the waters that He created. Those waters, says Rashi, were divided up into two sections. There were the Mayim HaTachtonim, the lower waters, and there were the Mayim HaElyonim, the waters up in the heavens. Now the waters down on earth, which are called the Mayim HaTachtonim, were very, so to speak, upset. Again, we're talking about an inanimate object, right? But shall we say the Tsar, or the Malach, you know, the angel of the water, came forward to God and said, God, you're putting us all the way down at the bottom of the earth. Why can't we be like the Mayim HaElyonim? The Mayim HaElyonim are much closer to God, to heaven, to the divine being. So God enters into a bris. A bris is a covenant with a commitment. And he promises that the Mayim Tachtonim will also be able to reach God. And how? Because these Mayim would be poured on the Mizbeach. And that's called the same Mizbeach where the Melach is brought for the Karbonos, is the Mayim is brought for Nisuch HaMayim, and that's on Sukkos. So what we have something called Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What's that all about? That's all about the commitment that God makes, the covenant that he enters into, the Mayim HaTachtonim, that those Mayim will be close to God, despite the fact that they're down on this lowly earth. They seem to be so distant from God, and God says no. When we take that water, the Mayim HaTachtonim, Shavta Mayim B'Soson, and we pour it on the Mizbeach, what we're doing is elevating all the Mayim HaTachtonim, the lower waters, up to the highest level. And again, if I told you the Baal Shem Tov said this, you would say, oh, it's a Chassidish of art. But I'm telling you that Rashi says this. So if you have an argument here with somebody, you have to argue with Rashi. Rabbeinu Bachai, also one of the Rishonim, expands and embellishes this idea. So the Mayim HaTachtonim are brought closer to Hashem, to the creation, to the Creator, through this bris that is concretized by the great experience of Nisuch HaMayim, of the libations of water on Sukkos. And this is all symbolic, says Rabbeinu Bachai, of what's going to happen at the end of days, that those who are down on this earth, the Tachtonim, will be able to be elevated to a level that's close to Hashem. What is the message inherent in this concept of God creating the Mayim HaTachtonim? They're crying that they're not close to Hashem, and God promises that they will be elevated. So look fast forward, if you will, to the last paragraph on page 3. The last full paragraph, I mean. And on the line 4, because I see we're running a little bit out of time, so we'll try to fit this in. He says, Mayim HaTachtonim, the lower waters, are Chelkei HaTorah HaNitzotzes Shel Kedusha Tmunim B'Mamakei HaAdama. Those lower waters symbolically represent those waters that are hidden, are concealed, deep below the surface, Tamun, of the Adama, of the earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that those waters will be gathered together so that the Abasha, so the land masses, will be exposed. Those waters are begging God to be revealed, because they are being concealed below the surface. And it's man's job, it's man's responsibility to reveal this Mayim. And God says to the Mayim HaTachtonim, let me enter into a commitment, a covenant with you. Ho'il u'lechvodi asisim kol kach. If you agree to play that role as the Mayim HaTachtonim below the surface of the Adama, then Ein Lahem Rishus L'Mayim Elyonim Lomar Shira Ad Sheyitlu Rishus Mimchem. The higher waters that are up in the clear perspective of divinity, close to the Kisei HaKavod, they will not be able to recite Shira, to sing the praise of God, until first you, the Mayim HaTachtonim, are revealed. So that the Nisuch HaMayim means that those parts of the Torah that are concealed deep below the surface will finally come to be revealed. So Nisuch HaMayim really is a harbinger, if you will, of what's going to happen at the end of days, when the Mayim HaTachtonim will be exposed. And that's why the Navi says about the end of days that the Torah will be so spread across the earth like the waters below the surface. Because the waters of the Tachtonim represent that part of the Torah, that part of spirituality that's below, deep below the surface. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Israel, and we accepted the Torah, we entered into an agreement in which we wanted to commit ourselves to study the Torah, to use the Torah as the Kli Chafira to dig these wells, to reveal and expose the deeper Mayim, the Mayim HaTachtonim, those waters that represent the divinity and the spirituality within man and within the universe. So we'll just end with a prayer to Hashem, that we ask Hashem to give us the insight, the wisdom, to study His Torah, to use the Torah to dig deep below the surface and reveal those secrets of divinity that have been concealed, until finally we'll have a clear cut and exposure, or shall we say an encounter with the Mayim Chaim, the bare Mayim Chaim, when Hashem will reveal the Torah in such a way that it'll be Malei Kol Aretz, that the entire land will indicate that we have exposed and revealed the divinity within, and that's going to happen. Be Emes, May Aretz Titzmach, when the Emes, the truth of Torah, will be revealed even from the depths of the Aretz at the time of the rebuilding of the eternal Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash of Yaakov Avinu, of Rechovos, of Torah, and the eternal Beis HaMikdash, HaShlishi, Sheibaneh B'mheirav Yameinu, Amen.
Amen. That's why simple Shosha Eved has more significance than just appears on the surface, because it deals with the Mayim.
Correct. There's a lot more below the surface in the case of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva and the Nisuch HaMayim. David, if you could do me a favor, just open up this door.
Yeah.